I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, 9 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, February the 12th. And this is our weekly State Capitol Report, where we share with you some of the issues brewing in state government, reviewing some of the headlines from the previous week, and previewing what's on tap this week. And what's on tap this week is the state budget address, which Governor Doyle will deliver to the state legislature tomorrow night. And some of the ideas that he has were released last week. We will first get some analysis from Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter Sean Johnson, and then we'll welcome in two state senators who will be debating these issues and proposals in the coming weeks, Republican Glenn Grothman and Democrat Fred Risser. And you can react to the news and ask your own questions at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Let me welcome in first Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter Sean Johnson. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning, Joy.
So the big news this week has to be the state budget address tomorrow night, right?
Definitely. It's going to be the news that kind of carries on for the next several months. This is just going to be the very beginning of a long debate at the Capitol.
Yeah, you will be co-anchoring that coverage along with Wisconsin Public Radio or Television's Frederica Freiberg. 7 o'clock tomorrow night, people can hear the state budget address on Wisconsin Public Radio and watch it on Wisconsin Public Television. What are you going to be watching for, Sean?
Well, you've seen just over this weekend, there's several proposals that have come out from the governor on how he's going to balance the budget and expand state programs in a number of areas. You just heard in the newscast the story about this big oil tax that the governor wants of $1.50 per barrel of oil at the pump. And he expects that would generate $270 million in revenue over the next couple of years. You heard more details or saw more details over the weekend on what the governor wants to include in his property tax limits. They go up and let local governments increase their levies by about 4%, which is more than in the past. You see now that the governor wants to offer benefits to partners of all state employees, which is an expansion from what he's proposed in the past, where he's proposed it just for the University of Wisconsin system. And you also heard a budget proposal from not the governor, but the Republican Attorney General on Friday, saying he wants 31 new analysts for the state's crime lab to handle DNA cases, and that's twice what Governor Doyle has talked about providing in the past. So a lot of details coming out.
Yeah, it's a lot of interesting stuff, too. And we also heard, and I don't have a lot of details here, but some sort of tax on hospitals that that I know I saw a hospital spokesperson saying this is a tax on sick people.
Right. And you can, if that does come out in the budget, you can expect to hear that refrain not only from hospital administrators, but I think Republican lawmakers will be mentioning that plenty of times this session. From what I understand, the way it would work is if the governor levies this tax increase on hospitals, then the state returns that money to pay MA costs for disabled people and poor people. The state can then report that increased cost to the federal government, which lets the state collect more federal money. It's kind of a complicated accounting mechanism, but it's one that other states, including Illinois, have tried.
Yeah, and big headlines last week, too, the governor wanting to increase state aid to Milwaukee, saying, in essence, the health of the state depends a lot on the health of Milwaukee. So what does he want to do there? What do we know?
He wants additional money for the schools. He's got some programs that he thinks will help improve achievement at schools. He wants money for new police officers, money for a summer youth jobs program, funding for transitional jobs for people that are released from prison, and hope that they won't reoffend before they kind of get back on their feet. And he also wants the state to pick up the cost of expanding the school choice program, which is a deal he reached last year with then Assembly Speaker John Gard. So the challenge for the governor now is convincing lawmakers from the rest of the state that this is in their best interest because it's targeted money for one city.
Yeah, sounds like a lot of new programs, and besides this proposed oil tax, not a lot of new revenue. Is there anything else that he has in mind to increase revenue for the state?
Well, you've heard him talk about the cigarette tax.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a significant amount of money there. He's estimating $500 million in revenue from that over a couple of years. This hospital tax could be a few hundred million.
Mm-hmm.
The oil tax is a few hundred million. So there's areas where you're going to see more money coming into the state. You haven't heard a lot about a lot of cuts just yet, and that's something the governor has said he's going to include, but we don't know the details right now.
Yeah, and as for the cigarette tax and the proposed statewide cigarette ban, no smoking in public places,
uh-huh.
The governor made some news last week when asked if he might accept an exemption for taverns, and he said, well, maybe. If I get 95% of what I want, I won't turn my back on that.
Yeah, he didn't make strong remarks. And he still said that he would like to see the smoking ban everywhere because to him that's what makes sense, but definitely left the door open. And you saw groups that this smoking ban would affect really seize on those remarks. The Tavern League, of course, is very happy. They don't want the state to ban smoking in their establishments. But the Restaurant Association came out and said, hey, we support a smoking ban in all locations, because if you only ban it in restaurants, that kind of puts us at a disadvantage to that tavern down the street that also serves a lot of food.
Yeah. Anything else with the state budget address or things coming up this week that we should talk about before we welcome in our state legislators?
The budget address is definitely going to dominate. There are a couple of hearings at the Capitol. There's one on a film tax credit, basically designed to get filmmakers to come to Wisconsin. This proposal would just speed up that tax credit so that it takes effect in 2007 instead of 2008. And then there's a hearing on a bill Tuesday morning that would allow 17-year-olds to vote in a primary if they're going to be 18 by a general election. So certainly not as big as the state budget we're going to hear tomorrow night, but a couple items all the same.
Well, we will be hearing from State Senator Fred Risser, who's the sponsor of that 17-year-old voting bill, right?
Right.
Yeah, he'll be coming in just after the weather break. And thanks, Sean. We'll see you and hear you tomorrow night at the state budget address.
All right. Thanks, Joy.
Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio's state government reporter. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, and this is the State Capitol Report, when we examine the major issues going on under the State Capitol Dome each Monday in this 7 o'clock hour. We're going to talk about many of those issues for the rest of this hour with two state senators and with you, 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. As Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol reporter Sean Johnson told us, tops on the agenda this week at the state capitol, the state budget address. Governor Doyle will be delivering his budget address, his proposed budget for the next biennium, to the legislature tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. You can hear him on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio or watch the budget address on Wisconsin Public Television. On Wednesday morning, we'll follow up with a variety of guests talking about various proposals and getting reaction and analysis to the budget blueprint coming up on Wednesday morning. We'll talk some about what we know, at least the basics of some of his proposals, Governor Doyle's proposals, and some other issues that are making headlines, including the UW Board of Regents on Friday passing a new admissions policy that will use race and other factors beyond academics to determine who gets admitted to a UW campus, something that is controversial with some, including one of our guests that I'll be welcoming in now. Glenn Grothman is a Republican state senator from West Bend. He is chair of the Special Legislative Committee on Affirmative Action. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Thanks for being with us.
I love to be on the Ideas Network.
Well, we love to have you. And we also are joined by Fred Risser, a Democratic state senator from Madison. He is the president of the state Senate. Good morning, Senator Risser.
Good morning, Joy, and thanks again for having me on your program.
Yes, we will talk some about your bill that will have a hearing tomorrow on the 17-year-olds being able to vote. But first, let me start with Senator Grothman and ask you what your reaction is to the UW Board of Regents unanimous vote on Friday that will allow admissions officers to use race as one of the factors when determining admissions to a UW campus.
Well, it's not surprising, but it's disappointing on a lot of levels. First of all, it just seems to be somewhat un-American that we would put ourselves in a position in which we were using race preferences, in other words, favoring one person over another based on race. But worse than that, worse than the fact that some people aren't going to get into their campus of choice because of this, is the idea that we then have a bureaucracy that comes with this in the university system that tells people, depending on their ethnic background, that they should view themselves as a put-upon minority. And it's very divisive in that way. In other words, you could have somebody who maybe had great-grandparents who came here from Mexico, and they would arrive in the university system, and they would be gotten a hold of by the affirmative action bureaucracy and tell them they should be an embittered minority. I think that's a real problem. I think one of the reasons our country has been so successful is that we all view ourselves as Americans. And instead, we have a bureaucracy now telling people to view themselves as African-Americans or Asian-Americans or Hispanic-Americans. And that's going to be very divisive for our country.
Mm-hmm. So what are you going to do about this, Senator Grothman?
Well, we are looking at it. I am chairman of a committee, as you mentioned, and there are a variety of things we could do. We could try to introduce a constitutional amendment like they had in Michigan barring this practice. We could decide to reach a compromise and try to eliminate some of these preferences. For example, I could disagree a lot with the idea that we have preferences, say, for Hispanic Americans, because right now the university, you could have somebody who just came here 10 years ago and really hadn't experienced any past prejudice in this country, but they'd be given preferences, which doesn't make any sense. Or you could have somebody who maybe came here 60 years ago of Hispanic descent, but really has long since lost any identity with their ancestors. Okay, I mean, does it make any sense you have somebody who can't speak Spanish, who's never been south of the border, to say, well, we have to bring you into the university system to give us diversity? You know, there's no difference between somebody who went to Brookfield High School who had a grandparent from Mexico than somebody who had a grandparent from Ireland. It really makes no sense. So maybe we could try to peel off some of these people with certain ethnic backgrounds. That would be another way to look at it.
Yeah. Let me get Senator Risser in on this. Senator Risser, what's your reaction to the UW Board of Regents vote on Friday?
Well, I think a lot depends on how this is implemented. You know, we give preferences now. We give preferences to veterans. We give preferences to certain athletes. When hiring university professors, we give preference to people that are stars. The idea of preferences is not in and by itself unique or different. It seems to me that the regents are trying to help some of those people that need little help, that haven't had a fair shake in society. And as I say, a lot depends on how it's implemented. I think it's worth a try.
Mm-hmm. And Senator Grothman, I think it's Representative Stephen Nass is saying that this is illegal and he's going to bring it to court.
Yes, there is currently a law in Wisconsin statute saying that you cannot discriminate based on race. That law has never been challenged in court, but I do believe the regents are breaking the law to implement this policy.
Yeah, and you had said on this program a couple of weeks ago prior to a public hearing on this proposed admissions policy at the time that one of your recourses might be to look at defunding or trying to, I guess, punish the university budgetarily?
Well, it wouldn't be to punish them, but they are spending millions of dollars on this policy, and I think it would be a question as to whether in this budget the legislature ought to strip out the funding for the positions that implement this policy. Like I said, the people who implement this policy on the university level are very divisive people. Their job is to break people out by race,
identify them as Hispanic Americans or African Americans, and I think really embitter them. I don't know why we would have such people on the campus, particularly when the university is claiming that we need more money to keep our stars, that we need more money to increase enrollments, but then we're going to have some bureaucrat here whose sole function is to identify people by race.
Yeah. Do you, Senator Risser, sense that there's going to be a big fight in the legislature over this?
Well, you know, I don't look at this as discrimination. I look at this as giving a little help to those that need it. We do that all the time, as I point out. We have special classes for people that need help in languages or need help in this or need help in that. Society tries to help those that need a chance. We help those people who are have catastrophic health problems. We society gives extra help to those that need it. I don't look at it as discrimination. And as I say, the bottom line is how this is implemented. I think it's certainly worth a try.
Yeah. Let me move on to another issue. We have many issues that we want to talk to both of you about throughout this hour. Senator Risser, your bill that would allow 17-year-olds to vote in a primary if they're going to be 18 by the general election gets a hearing tomorrow. Why do you think this is a good idea?
Well, this has been tried in several other states, and it's worked out very well. It seems to me that it gives those young people who are interested in politics, who are looking forward to vote at 18, a chance to participate in the entire election cycle. Oftentimes, primaries are as important, if not more important, than general election. And to turn around and tell some young person who's excited and thrilled with the opportunity of participating in democracy and in participating when they turn 18, to tell them that they can help to make the selection at 17 if they're going to turn 18 by a general election day, I think is a great idea.
Yeah, what do you think of the idea, Senator Grothman?
It's a foolish idea. I participated in politics when I was 17. I went around door-to-door for George McGovern, and the reason I did it is I was a dumb 17-year-old. I didn't know a lot about life. There's a reason why we say you're an adult when you're 18. You know, if you maybe take out a debt at age 17, we don't consider that a binding contract because we think you're too immature to make important decisions about debt. And I think most of your listeners can think back when they were 17. They thought all sorts of foolish things. They kind of straightened out as they got older, as they began to get a job, as they began to see more in life. I don't see any reason to change the age of majority from 18 to 17. And if they want to participate in the political process, they can do what I did when I was 17, and that is volunteer for a political party.
Yeah, Senator Risser, your reaction to that?
Well, I don't think you're changing the age of majority at all. The age of majority is 18. That's when you vote in the general election. But to let these young people who are active at 17 and just miss out on the primary because of a couple weeks or a couple months birthday timing, I don't think that that's at all unreasonable. In fact, I think it would help the young people, giving them an opportunity to participate in the primary once they start, probably ought to keep going. This isn't mandatory. This is just letting those who are active, who wish to participate, participate. The age of majority is still the same.
Now, we have lots more to talk about coming up on the State Capitol Report after we check the latest news. We'll talk about some of these proposals from Governor Doyle that we'll hear more about tomorrow night in the state budget address. We'll talk, get the reactions of our two guests to some of these ideas coming up after the news. Glenn Grothman is a Republican state senator from West Bend, and Fred Risser is the Senate president, a Democratic state senator from Madison. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Good to have you along. Hope you stay tuned as we talk with two state senators about some issues brewing under the state capitol dome this week. Governor Doyle will be giving his budget address tomorrow night, but we've heard some over the past few days about some of the things he's going to be announcing. We'll talk with our guest lawmakers about those ideas and welcome your thoughts and questions too. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. 263-1890. We are talking with Glenn Grothman, a Republican state senator from West Bend, and Fred Risser, a Democratic state senator from Madison, the president of the state Senate. We have a caller who's online who wants to talk about that 17-year-old voting bill. Mark in Romance, hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. Thanks for taking the call. I was interested in what Mr. Grossman said about the reasoning for not permitting a 17-year-old to vote, that they're pretty impulsive, that they're not really as a fully formed a person as they would be when they get older. And yet in this state, I know from my experience of working with adolescents, 17 years of age, a young person can and will be thrown into an adult criminal court if they do a crime. Now, I don't understand why we would say that they're not mature enough to vote, but they are mature enough to be thrown into an adult criminal court. At what point will our legislators start to understand that developmentally a 17-year-old is not the same as an adult, whether the issue is voting or being held in jail?
Senator Grossman?
Well, first of all, I think your listener is largely wrong. The vast majority of 17-year-olds who commit a crime do not go to adult court. They are still tried as juveniles. And the reason we try them as juveniles is the same reason why it would be foolish to allow 17-year-olds to vote. That is, they're not mature enough, as your caller says. There are some people who are 17 or 16-year-olds who commit such serious crimes that for the good of society, we have to charge them as an adult. For example, if a 16 or 17-year-old physically raped a woman, or if a 17-year-old murdered somebody, sometimes in those cases, usually in those cases, we want to put them in adult court just because they are such a danger to society. We don't want to just slap them on the wrist and put them in some center for youth, and then when they're 18 years old, they turn around and get out and begin to murder or accost other people. So that is not so much a matter of treating these people as adults as saying for the good of society, they are so violent, we do not want them moving about.
Yeah. Senator Risser, you want to talk about that issue that Mark brought up?
There's nothing magic about being 17 or 18. Some people are mature at 17. Some people are not mature at 17. This bill would permit 17-year-olds who are very interested and want to get involved in the political structure to participate. And as I say, I don't think there's anything magic with being 1 week older than 17 or 18 and 1 week younger.
Well, you're going to have maybe some reaction at your hearing, Senator Risser, because a lot of our callers want to talk about this issue. However, there are so many other issues that you'll be dealing with in the weeks to come that I want to move on to some of the news of the day. Governor Doyle saying that he is going to propose taxing big oil companies more than $270 million over the next 2 years to help pay for transportation needs in the state. We'll get more details on this in the state budget address tomorrow night. Senator Grossman, what do you think of that idea?
Well, I'm disappointed with the governor's – we'll see his budget tomorrow night, but I'm disappointed on a lot of levels. I felt the governor did a relatively good job in the last 4 years at holding the line in excessive spending, but it seems like right now he's going through the roof and spending the money all over the place. I would assume this tax, and we'll have to see the details, is the type of tax that's going to be immediately passed through to the consumer. So in other words, what he's doing is he's raising the gas tax, which will fit in nicely with raising the cigarette tax and raising the hospital tax. We are already one of the highest tax states in the country. We have to remember that high taxes inevitably mean a loss of freedom, as more and more of the money that you and I work for is not going to be spent by ourselves, it's going to be spent by politicians. And as a member of the Party of Freedom, the Republican Party, I reject the idea that more and more of the money that your listeners have to earn will be spent by the politicians and not by themselves.
I have here in this Associated Press news story that Doyle says the assessment would equal $1.50 per barrel of oil sold in the state, and that the companies would be prohibited from passing the tax on to customers at the gas pump.
Well, let's think about that, Joy. How are you going to prohibit them from passing on any more than how are you going to prohibit people from passing on any other cost of doing business? It'd be like saying we're going to force you to raise the cost of employees at a McDonald's. We're going to forbid them from passing on the cost. The cost of a gallon of gas goes up and down. There are many parts of that cost, and I would think it is clearly impossible to tell a business that they can't pass through a individual cost.
Senator Risser, your thoughts on taxing big oil companies?
Well, you know, Wisconsin's a wonderful place to live in, and that's why Senator Grossman and I live here, because we like it here. It's a high-service state. We have a great standard of living, and we're proud of it. Now, I see nothing wrong with taxing the oil companies. They've been getting away with financial murder, you might say. They are able to bury a good share of the taxes they owe through accounting tricks. I don't think it's going to make a bit of difference to the ultimate consumer if you add another barrel, another dollar a barrel, or on the oil tax. They just take it out of their surplus funds.
Another story in the news this morning, Governor Doyle says he will ask you, the legislature, to let local governments raise their fall property tax levies by 4%. That's doubled the limit of the last 2 years, but a rate, the governor says, will still control local taxes. He estimates this would cause a $75 increase, or 2.7%, in the December property tax bill on the median valued Wisconsin home. Senator Grothman, first, what do you think of that idea?
Well, too high. I'm not sure that it includes just municipalities. Of course, your property tax bill is also made up of the tech schools and the school districts and what have you. But 4%, lately inflation has been tooling along at about 2%. So, in other words, we're gradually going to have a higher and higher percentage of your paycheck gobbled up by your property taxes. I suppose if we want to spend a lot more money on a lot of government employees and new government buildings, he's got to get the money from somewhere. But I feel sorry for all the homeowners out there, and I hope the legislature, the Republican, my buddies in the Assembly, are able to pare that back to 2% like it was in the past.
Mm-hmm. Senator Risser?
Well, you know, it's not automatic. It's up to the local units of government. A local unit of government can raise it up to the 4% level and still get certain aids from the state government, or they can keep it at 2%, or they can reduce it down. It's local control, and it seems to me that some local governments have necessities that others don't have, and to strangle them and to not let them meet the needs of the people, I think, is a mistake, and I think the governor's idea is a good one. Again, it's not automatic. It's up to the local units of government, and people have a chance to participate in their local unit. They vote for their aldermen and supervisors. They participate in local activities. So it's pure local control, and I think that's one thing that's made our state so great, is that we do have a lot of local control.
The mayor of Milwaukee, Tom Barrett, is giving, I believe it's the State of the City address this morning, and a number of Milwaukee area legislators are at this breakfast function. We heard last week Governor Doyle saying that the state needs to give more money to Milwaukee, more state aid to Milwaukee, because it's an important city in this state, and the health of Milwaukee is important to the health of Wisconsin. Is there, Senator Grothman, going to be a big fight over whether more state money should go to Milwaukee?
You bet there'll be, Joy. Mm-hmm. There'll be a big fight. The city of Milwaukee already gets so much more money than other cities around the state. I, for example, represent West Bend, which is not a wildly wealthy city. I think the city of Milwaukee right now gets over four times what the city of West Bend currently gets in aid to run our city. The same thing is true of Milwaukee County, both in shared revenue and something called community aids. Their school system is spending more than the statewide average, more than here in West Bend, and they get considerably more from the state than West Bend. Milwaukee's problem is kind of a moral problem in what they're doing with their money. It cannot be solved with more money. As a matter of fact, having spent some time in Milwaukee, I would argue that part of the problem in Milwaukee is they keep looking to government for the answer. So I would say giving more money to Milwaukee for more government employees is even counterproductive to what we have to do to turn around Milwaukee.
Senator Risser?
Well, Milwaukee is a very integral part of the state of Wisconsin. It has problems. It has a lot of problems, and it needs help. It has higher unemployment rates. It has a number of problems. It has a declining population. It does have school problems, as Senator Grossman said. And I think that the strength of the state is the strength of all of its communities within the state. And we would help any community that needed help. And I think Milwaukee is one of those that we should pay attention to. And hopefully we'll be able to bring it back to the level it used to be.
We're talking with Fred Risser. He is the president of the state Senate, a Democrat from Madison, and Glenn Grothman, a Republican state senator representing the West Bend area. 1-800-642-1234 is our number. If you have an issue facing state government that you would like to present to our two state senators. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. We're talking about some of the proposals that Governor Doyle is likely to bring up in his state budget address tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. And we'll also talk some after this weather break about some of the developments of possible compromise when it comes to a statewide smoking ban after this. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the State Capitol Report. That's our new regular weekly feature every Monday during the 7 o'clock hour when we talk about issues facing state government, news that's making headlines in the previous week and the week to come. A lot of the news this week will be from Governor Doyle's state budget address, which will be tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. You can hear it here on the Ideas Network or watch it on Wisconsin Public Television. We are talking with our two guests this hour about some of the issues that are going to be presented in the state budget address. Our guests are Glenn Grothman, who is a Republican from West Bend, and Fred Risser, a Democrat from Madison, both state senators, and talking with us about some of these issues that are going to be facing the state of Wisconsin and the state legislature in the weeks to come. Senator Risser, we had you on just a couple of weeks ago when Governor Doyle proposed this statewide smoking ban that would include bars and restaurants and the $1.25 increase to the cigarette tax that he was proposing. And now we hear during this past week that the governor says, well, maybe I'm open to compromise. Someone asked him, would you accept a smoking ban that exempted taverns? And he said, well, I wouldn't turn my back on it. What's your reaction to an exemption for taverns?
Absolutely not. You know, I feel very strongly on this issue. Over half the people in this country live in areas that are smoke-free. California, New York, for example, the whole state are tax-free. People have the right to work in tax in smoke-free areas. They have the right to have smoke-free areas and to work and to live and to participate in smoke-free areas. And I don't really see any compromise on this. The Restaurant Association, for instance, came out publicly for the ban, and most of the people in the Restaurant Association also own bars. So society is changing, and I can't wait until the time we are smoke-free along with the rest of the country.
Mm-hmm. Senator Grothman?
Well, this is a really tough issue for me because, Joy, I hate smoking. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you, to me, you pay the mortgage, you pay the property taxes, you're able to do what you want on your property. And I just have a hard time if somebody has worked so hard in their restaurant or their bar, quite frankly, worked so hard to buy that bar, paid so much in property taxes on that bar, to tell them you can't smoke in your bar. That just seems to me not what this country's about, and I would oppose it.
Now, I don't know if you can both address this new proposed tax that the Wisconsin Hospital Association does not like. Says here, preparing to fight a possible new tax to fund rising health care costs for the poor. Governor Doyle is expected to propose a tax on hospitals in order to produce millions in matching revenue from the federal government under the Medicaid program. Hospitals are calling this a tax on sick people. Governor Doyle hasn't really confirmed his proposal yet, but this could come up tomorrow night. Senator Risser, what do you think of this?
Well, I'd have to see the details. I hear that it's being speculated about, and I'm interested in seeing what the details of such a tax is. I can tell you that we need money, and obviously we're not going to try to get money from sick consumers, but hospitals, many of them, are making a lot of money. They're charging a lot of money for, and they're expanding. And if this is one place to get health care money, we maybe should look at it. I'd have to see the details, and I'm not prepared to to say one way or another whether I like the idea.
Is this worth looking at, Senator Grothman?
No, it's another tax. I mean, you know, it is exactly a tax on sick people. I mean, this idea that you can tax a business and somehow miraculously the consumers of the business aren't going to pay it is ridiculous. We have some of the highest health care costs in the country. The thing we ought to be doing is looking at more consumer-based health care. The answer is not to add another cost to the hospitals of this state.
Let's take some calls. Chet in Jackson. Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, I was wondering what the legislature is going to do to try to work towards turning things around. Since beginning of the Thompson administration and the Republican legislature, we went from where the business paid 20% of the tax revenue in the state. Now they're down to 2%. And with all the corporate welfare and loopholes that they've created, I'm wondering what the plans are to maybe turn that around and make it so the working people get a break in this state.
Yeah. Senator Grothman, what about businesses are not paying their fair share, according to Chet?
Well, Chuck's figures are a little bit out of whack here, but I think what he is addressing here is this. Sadly, over the last 20 years, a lot of our manufacturing base has left the state, as the manufacturing base has left everywhere else in the country. And because we have less manufacturing in the state, a smaller percentage of property tax is paid for by business. The answer is not, therefore, to raise the tax on the remaining manufacturers in the state. So that would be that is not a problem in the sense that business is not paying its fair share. The idea is to have an attractive business to climate, attractive business climate, not to hammer the few remaining businesses, which is what Chuck and, quite frankly, that's the talking point of the teachers' union want to do.
Senator Risser?
Well, your caller is absolutely correct in that the business is paying less percentage-wise of the tax than it used to. And it seems to me that it's only fair that we collect some of our tax revenues from business and some of our tax revenues from individuals. Businesses have not been paying their fair share, and I don't see anything wrong with readjusting the percentages to have business pay more than they pay now.
Last week, Governor Doyle also announced that a variety of tax cut proposals will be included in his budget plans. The proposals are aimed at lowering taxes on health insurance, child care, and college costs. Doyle wants to make all health insurance premiums tax-free. He wants to make the full cost of tuition at universities and colleges tax-deductible, and some other things here. The tax cuts sound good, don't they, Senator Grothman?
I think these tax cuts, as I understand it, I'm glad to see he's making health insurance premiums tax deductible. The idea of making, we'll have to see what the details are regarding making college tuition deductible. If it's a minor deduction, that's not bad, but there are some proposals out there that are just wildly ridiculous. We already have some of the lowest tuition in the Big Ten, I think the second lowest tuition in the Big Ten, and you know, to as a practical matter, that lower that still further is just further hammering the taxpayers who aren't going to college this year, and that's just really unnecessary.
Mm-hmm. Senator Risser?
Well, I think we should have a policy where everyone in this state with the ability and desire to secure a higher education can see it regardless of their level of income. There ought to be a system of grants, a system of loans, a system of assistance so that we maintain our brains, you might say. Those with ability and desire to attend a higher education should be able to go. It's the greatest legacy we can give the future generation is an education. Anything we can do to assist in that, we should.
Yeah. The one I forgot here was a tax deduction of up to $3,000 for families with one child in daycare and more for families that have more than that. Is that a good idea, Senator Risser?
Well, I say anything that will stimulate our youth to get an education, to get started in life. Daycare is one way to get started. I think that most people that, or many people that put their children in daycare are working full time, and any help we can give to them, we should.
Yeah,
I think that's more, Joy, I'll jump in here. Mm-hmm. It just sounds to me like more hatred for the stay at home mom there as we raise the taxes on the on the family with the stay at home mom to pay for the family that doesn't have a stay-at-home mom. I think that's another mistake.
Let me get Rick in East Troy on just before we run out of time. Rick, go ahead.
I think it was Senator Risser that I heard speak a long time ago back in the 80s, and he mentioned something that we don't have a legislature anymore that can argue and debate on the Senate floor and then go out and have dinner afterwards. I would like to ask, as a citizen that, and I'm in neither one of these gentlemen's districts, so just as a general citizen, I'd like you to approach this budget in a bipartisan manner and in a way that you can, you know, not have to play games and looking for political gain for one party or the other, Yeah. And I'd like you to do this on behalf of the people of the state of Wisconsin.
But the budget's going to have to be bipartisan. The Assembly is Republican. The Democrats have the Senate, and without some bipartisanship, we're not going to get a budget through. So oftentimes, some of the best legislation develops when there are split parties in the legislature, because each party then puts their best foot forward, trying to convince the voters that they are the best party, and we sometimes come out with the best ideas.
Thank you, Senator Risser. Last 30 seconds to you, Senator Grothman.
Well, I think, you know, it was at least a step in the right direction that Fred and I talked on the Joy Cardine show.
Great step in the right direction.
I think it's a big step in the right direction. I guess if we could get along cordially here, I could buy Fred a drink tomorrow night after the speech.
Hey, thanks.
All right. Thank you, Senator Grothman and Senator Risser. Glenn Grothman, Republican State Senator from West Bend, Chair of the Special Legislative Committee on Affirmative Action, and the Senate President Fred Risser, a Democratic state senator from Madison. A reminder that we will hear Governor Doyle's state budget address here on the Ideas Network tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, and we'll talk more about these budget proposals on Wednesday morning. Thanks to Karen Prager for producing the hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.